Up make Sunday school at 10:30 for the morning service and 5:30 for the evening service. Then following Saturday is a big Saturday for us. The ladies will be going to Monroe, to Solid Rock Baptist, to Miss Judy speaking at that ladies' meeting. So y'all pray for her that she'll fully recover in time so she can fulfill that wonderful ministry opportunity for her up there in, at Monroe. So you ladies that are going, we are going to get a count on this Sunday. So make sure thinking about it. If you're going to go, make sure you commit to doing that on Sunday when we get a count. And then the men on Saturday, again, that's February 3rd, we'll be meeting here at 10 o'clock for our sowing Saturday, where we'll go sow the seed of the Word of God out here in the neighborhoods. So you men, definitely be here for that at 10 a.m. on February 3rd. All right.
All right, we'll give you one more chance to stand. Let's sing Christ Is All I Need. Christ is all.
Tonight. He's truly all that we need. Thank God for everything else. But I'm glad that when it comes right down to it, he's really all that we need. Well, I meant to tell you and wanted to wait till for sure, but Claudette's son-in-law, Brother James, and her daughter Claudine and their children, Brother James has been assistant pastor at Bible Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida for 25 years, I think. Faith Baptist Church in Pensacola for 25 years. 25 years. Well, Westgate Baptist Church in Spartanburg has called him to be their pastor. And so Claudine sent Judy a little text and was all excited to be coming back to South Carolina. Is James from here too, Claudette, or he's not from here? Where's he from? New something. Well, that narrows it down. Well, first of all, if he's from New York or New Hampshire, New Jersey, if he's from New Jersey, he's a Yankee. Because I'm a Midwesterner, Claudette. I've tried to teach you that. Midwesterner, all right. So, yeah. But they're so excited. It's a great church, beautiful church up there. We've got a Christian school up there. When Andrew was in school, they played ball at Grace. They'd go and play that school up there. And so I know James is going to do a good job. Brother James, good preacher, good man, great family. His girls, you remember, were here with Claudette when they went to, I think, Hawaii for a couple of weeks. And both they sang and did some readings. And I mean, it was just, you can tell that they have trained their girls well. And I know Claudette's proud of them. Now they're going to be closer by. It's a lot closer to Spartanburg than it is to Florida. And so hopefully they'll be able to rekindle some good family relationship there. And I think that's a blessing. So I hope you'll pray for Brother James and Claudine and the girls when we're not sure exactly when they're to start. I don't guess they know that for sure yet. But I'll tell you, God's been good to them. I'm excited to have them in the area. So you pray for them. Okay. Let's have the ushers to come on. We'll take care of the offering this evening. This is the regular offering, and most people give missions on Wednesday night. And if you want a tithe, if you didn't Sunday, you can, and just make sure everything is designated. And we'll take care of that. All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Brother Jimmy, come on up here, Brother Jimmy. Brother Jimmy's going to sing for us. tonight. He's been working on a song, and even though the McCormicks are here, we want him to sing for us. And so he's going to sing during the offertory. And so you go sing up here over at the piano, right here. Okay. All right. So you come on and get ready here, Brother Jimmy. And Brother Joaquin, how about you pray for the offering, would you?
Heavenly Father, thank you.
Now and then an old friend of mine that I've not seen for some time will stop by and ask me where have I been and what's on my mind. They wonder why I'm not drinking and still paint this old town red. Tell them I'm serving my Jesus now, and the old man is dead. And the man you see before you, he may look a lot the same, and he may wear the same clothes, and have the same old name. But you're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man. 'Cause that old man is dead. I used to live such a wicked life. I had no hope in sight. I was lost in that darkness, searching for that light. But then one night in a little church, after hearing what that preacher said, I gave my life to Jesus, and the old man was dead. And the man you see before you, he may look a lot the same, he may wear the same clothes, and have the same old name. But you're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man. 'Cause that old man is dead. You're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you will see a brand new man. 'Cause that old man, he is dead. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. We love Brother Jimmy. I'll tell you, he and Jenny been a... And I appreciate his good talent and his willingness to use it. Amen. Brother Cedric McCormick. Now, brother, last time he was here, he said, here's how you can remember him. Every time you use McCormick salt and pepper or any kind of spice, you think about them. All right? Titus? Oh, by the way, yeah, this is Titus. He's my buddy. He's 10, and he's looking for a girlfriend. And so we're taking applications.
Any of y'all have money?
We love Brother Cedric and his wife, Penny. You pray for her. She's had a little health issues, but she's here. We appreciate her so very much. And then Brother Kevin, of course, and you'll hear from his wife, Megan, here in just a little while. And so I told him just whenever I got the list made out. All right.
Amen.
You pray for them while they sing for us.
Hey, are y'all a little bit old-fashioned? I am. Hey, I still believe the King James Bible. Say amen. I still believe that if a person will repent of their sin, trust Christ as their Savior, they get to go to heaven when they die. I'll take the old highway.
There are many new roads we see each day. Each one claims they are the way to a life of satisfaction more than we dreamed. And they are alive with things that please the eye, but they cannot satisfy. So I'm determined to walk the highway with the redeemed.
I'll take the old
and
highway.
I will take the old road.
It's a very narrow
way
to the gate.
All the way to the gate.
It started at Calvary. That's where I got on. The old highway paved with grace all the way home.
Our highway may look to worldly men like it's a road to a bitter end, for we are promised tribulations all along. But the difference is easy to explain, for we have everything to gain. So just count me in that number going home.
I'll take the old
and
highway.
I will take the old road. It's
a
one-post grade.
It's a very narrow,
all the way to the gate.
It started at Calvary. That's where I got home. Old highway paved with grace all the way home. It's the old highway paved with grace all the way home.
It's all the way home.
Amen. We are the McCormicks, as Pastor said. I'm Cedric. My wife, Tanya, at the piano. Our son, Titus. And Kevin and Megan Long, and we are missionaries to the local church, a helps ministry working both here in America and on the foreign field, helping churches with their music ministry. When we come in a while ago, I saw a picture of the Murrays up there on the board, and obviously Miss Mama Murray, amen, sitting down here. But we spent some time. Matter of fact, part of our video presentation was filmed on their front porch over in the Philippines, and we work just around the world, helping churches with their music ministry. I'm a firm believer that the preaching of God's Word is the most important thing that goes on in this place, but I've been around the block long enough to know that music is vital to our ministry. If it's the right kind of music in its right place, done the right way, music is not to entertain and it's not to perform. Amen? It's not a performance. But music ought to prepare our heart for the preaching of God's Word. So we travel all around the world helping churches as a missionary with their music ministry. We go into churches that are church plants and that don't have a church music ministry, don't have a choir, and we help them start choirs. Or if they have a choir, we do what we call choir revivals. Just helping churches go back and understanding the purpose of music, the ministry of music, and how it plays a part in the church service. And how God uses it to stir our hearts and prepare us for the preaching of God's Word. I would not go in a field out here somewhere and take a handful of corn seed and throw it on top of the grass and expect to get a good yield. But if I come in with a turn plow, how many of y'all know what a turn plow is? Turn plow goes in, digs underneath the root system, and flips that hard, crusty soil upside down. Then I come back in with a set of discs and disc it up both ways. I can take that same corn seed, throw it on top of that same ground, and we get different results.
Right.
Same seed, same soil, different results. The difference being preparation.
Amen.
So that's what we do. We believe that the preparation of the heart is vital so that when the pastor gets up and he opens up the Word of God and he begins to plant the seed of the Word of God in our hearts, if the heart's been prepared properly, that seed will take better roots. Right. Say amen.
Amen.
So we do that every week. Not long ago, one year, I think last year, year before last, something like that. In out of 52 weeks, we started 11 choirs and had 33 choir revivals. So at 44 weeks out of 52, we've done choir revivals, and that's just amazing. So we're thankful for what the Lord does through our ministry. We live in the bus. We're based out of North Carolina there, but we live in the bus and have the trailer. So y'all pray for us. It's not in the back. It's right up here at the top. Don't do like this. Do not, when church is over, don't head straight for that door. Come up here. Get a prayer card. I tell everybody, bald lives matter. Bald lives matter. Amen. Fella back here, right here. Amen. Bald lives matter. Go by, get a prayer card. Pray for bald people. We need your prayer. Amen. Go by, get one. And then if you like our kind of singing, buy three or four of those CDs. Say amen.
Amen.
If you like our kind of singing, I want you to buy three or four of those CDs. Say amen.
Amen.
Brother Sonny, you didn't say amen. Amen. Hey, for those of you that don't like our kind of singing, here's what I want you to do. Listen carefully. I want you to go to the table, see Kevin. I want you to buy two CDs and give them to two people you don't like. All right? Anyway, so I just buy some of the CDs and help us out. Say amen. And when you're ready to take on another missionary, I know a good one. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Hey, I'm thankful for what the Lord has done. Amen. Aren't you glad for what God has done in your life? You know, we thank Him many times for the big things, but do we ever stop and thank Him for the little things? When's the last time you thanked Him that you had hot water when you turned it on? I know when y'all were meeting in the nursing home down there, you'd have been thankful for a church building. Say amen. When's the last time, just cause the new may be worn off, which it shouldn't have, amen, but are you thankful you got a church building? Say amen. Are you thankful you got a good pastor? Say amen. We ought to thank Him for everything. You ever stop and thank Him for hairbrushes? Shampoo? Say amen. You ever thank Him for that parking place up front at Walmart He gives you sometimes? You stop and tell Him thank you? Hey, I think we ought to thank Him for everything. Amen. I want to thank Him for all He's done.
Every morning when I wake to see the sun, I can't help but think about the Lord and all the things He's done.
He meets my every need. You know, He's been so good to me, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done.
For all He's done. I want to lift my hands and praise Him for all He's done. I try to live my life to please Him, even though I don't deserve to live. My life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done.
There are many things that I could praise God for, and if I started now until I die, there'd still be many more.
If I could mention only one, I'd have to thank Him for His Son, 'cause that's enough to praise the Lord for all He's done.
For all He's done. I want to lift my hands and praise Him for all He's done. I try to live my life to please Him, even though I don't deserve to live. My life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done.
We normally always bring water into church with us. And you ever let your mind get the best of you? We didn't bring water in tonight. And I was sitting here thinking, okay, I'm going to get choked. Well, if I don't have water. And Lord, have mercy. Amen. It happened. Hey, how many of y'all are thankful for the love of God? Aren't you glad that Jesus loves you? You know, I understand my love for my wife. I understand my love for my son. And I understand my love for my friends. But I wonder if I really understand God's love for me. Because see, here's the deal. Everything that I know about... Did I do that? I was like, I thought it was still in my hand, amen. Everything I know about love is a faltering and a failing love. You know what I'm saying? I mean, our earthly relationships that we have, it falters and it fails. It's an earthly, it's a human love. But God's love for us is everlasting and eternal. It's unconditional. He loves us right where we are. He loved us even before we were lovable. Say amen. God loves us. I'm thankful for the love of God. Megan's going to sing that old song, The Love of God. I want you to listen especially to that second verse. You've heard it 1,000 times. I want you to listen carefully to that second verse and think just about how much God loves you.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled, and born and from His sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever and angels song. Could we with ink the ocean fill and where the sky the parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the hope those treasures sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. It shall forevermore endure.
Do y'all ever worry about things? You know, we know that Jesus can take care of us, right? How many of y'all believe that? But you know what we'll do is we'll turn right around and worry about things. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's got it all under control. I know that. I believe that. But you know what will happen right after I know that? Something will happen and I'll start to worry about it. Why do I worry? Why do I fret? Makes me so mad at myself. You know, when Jesus was in the boat asleep, the storm came. Did you know that Jesus did not get up because he was worried about things? Didn't bother him at all. He knew it was going to be okay. But you know what I realized? Is he got up on their behalf. He got up for them, say amen. He didn't get up because he was worried. He was sound asleep. He knew it's going to be all right. But he got up on their behalf. Why do we worry? Why do we fret? Megan's going to sing, "Why Should I Worry?"
But they failed to remember that the Master was nigh. Then he spoke the words, and the windows stood still. Even the waters, they obeyed his will. And he calms their storm, just like he will mine. If I'll just remember, he lives inside. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? When this very same Jesus, he is always so near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. Read in the Bible how he walked with them, brought light to the darkness when the world grew so dim. How great it would be to have his footsteps in mine, and walk with the Master all of the time. And when trials come and death seems so nigh, I'll just call on the Master. I know he'll get there on time. And when sickness comes and my body's in pain, all I have to do is call on his name. So why should I worry? And why should I fear? When this very same Jesus, he is always so near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. And I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. Jesus, 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 I'll call on his name till the storm passes.
Amen. Bethany, was it standing in the presence? I thought so. I want you to go back in your mind and I want you to think about the moments leading up to salvation.
where maybe for the first time in your life you realized that you were lost on your way to a devil's hell and there was not a thing in the world that you could do about it. See, Jesus shed His blood on Calvary's tree that you and I might have everlasting life. And Jesus just wasn't anybody. He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen?
Right.
And it could not be just anybody that could pay our sin debt. But it could only be the body, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords that could pay our sin debt. And at that very moment when He was dealing with your heart, He had you in His mind and heart. He was thinking of you. The King of Kings was thinking of little old you and little old me. And you were literally at that moment standing in the presence of the King.
My heart did melt within me as I received the invitation. I was being beckoned by the King, and I was unaware He even knew that I existed. Yet all the while He had a place for me. I came into the presence of the King and humbly laid my life down at His feet. What an awesome privilege to come into the throne room and let mercy's pardon cover me. Standing in the presence of the King. Oh, I now have been adopted into His precious royal family. I stand amazed at why He took me in. There were so many others, and yet of me He was mindful. I felt nothing but my life to offer Him. I came into the presence of the King and humbly laid my life down at His feet. And what an awesome privilege to come into the throne room and let mercy's pardon cover me. Standing in the presence of the King, mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. And what an awesome privilege to come into the throne room and let mercy's pardon cover me. Standing in the presence of, my heart did melt within me as I received the invitation. I was standing in the presence of my King.
Wow. May Brother John just push that up there a little bit, okay? Amen. Book of Luke chapter number 15. Before I start the message tonight, I just want to say this. I am so thankful for where y'all are, amen? Aren't you thankful that God has given you this property in this building?
Right.
The last time we were here, we went over to church with y'all at the nursing home, we parked here, and boy, it didn't look nothing like this. It didn't look nothing. And we drove up, we was coming down the road, and I was like, man. Okay, all I had seen was just a little bit on Facebook, and it was always right here, a little bit of the piano, and then two people singing. It wasn't all that sharp looking, okay, especially one of them. Amen. No, but anyway. But this is beautiful. Beautiful. Amen. What a wonderful work the Lord has done here. Amen. And did you know, and I'm glad that you agree with me. Amen. I'm glad that you agree what a wonderful work that God has done here. But did you know that the work is not over? Say amen. The work is not over. Matter of fact, the work is just beginning. The work has just begun. Take your Bibles there tonight. You're going to say, well, how does that tie in with what we're going to be reading out of Luke chapter number 15? I'm glad you asked. Let's read down and see what happens. Amen. Luke chapter number 15, verse number 1 says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Now here's what you've got. You've got the non-religious crowd trying to get to Jesus until verse number 2. You ready? "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying,
well, this man may save the sinners and eat it with them. Did you see who the preacher was talking to at Walmart the other day?"
Amen. The religious crowd, always sticking their nose in and grumbling and fussing and complaining about trying to move forward. Say amen. It happens. And usually it's like this. Usually it's something like this.
"Well, I've been a deacon in this church for 284 years. And we ain't never did it like that before."
Amen? Is that not how a lot of it goes in our independent Baptist churches? Amen? I can only imagine how it was the first time they wanted to put a toilet inside the building. Amen? Everything about change ain't always bad. Say amen. I'm thankful we got them inside tonight. Say amen. All right. "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Verse number 3. How did Jesus respond to this, you ask? I'm glad you asked. Let's read on down in verse number 3 and see what happens. "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we had to serve you. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you give it to us for instruction. God, I thank you that you give it to us, Lord, for a way that, God, we can live our life. And it's an instruction book to teach us how to live and how we ought to do and how we ought to act and the things we ought to do. God, I pray that you'd help us walk out of these doors tonight different because we've been in your house tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, how many of y'all live on a farm? Anybody live on a farm? It's South Carolina. Surely somebody's got a farm around here. Nobody? Okay. I grew up on a farm. Anybody grow up on a farm? Okay, back here. What'd you have on your farm? cows. How many cows y'all have? Had 120 cows. Tony, you grew up on a farm. What? Somebody else raised their hand over here. Somebody else raised their hand. Who's? What kind of farm did you grow up on? Hogs and cows and chickens, all kind of stuff. Okay. I grew up on a farm too, and we had hogs and cows and horses and chickens and goats sometimes and rabbits sometimes. Boy, those things can get out of hand in a hurry. Say amen. And there was just all kind of things on this farm. And we lived on our farm. It sat way back up off the road, off the hard road. Well, if one of our cows or horses got out and got down on the road, it was our responsibility back in those days that if the car hit a horse or a cow or something, we had to pay for the damage that was done to the vehicle. So we had an interest of keeping our animals in the fence. But we had a horse. I don't care what kind of lock you put on that gate or how you latch it, that horse would reach his head over that fence, reach his head over that gate, and he'd figure out a way to get that latch open, and he'd just go stand on the other side of the fence and eat grass. There's grass on his side, but there's always greener on the other side. Say amen. All right, so here's what happened. When the horses or cows would get out, we'd go look for them. Now, I know that Anchor Baptist Church is not that old. We've been here, how long have y'all been in church? 4 years? 5 years. 5 years old. In 5 years, preacher, have there been some sheep that have gotten out? Have there been some members of Anchor Baptist Church that used to be here, they used to be faithful, they used to be here all the time, they still live in town, but they're no longer in church anywhere? Now I see some heads nodding, and maybe in a church 5 years old, maybe it's not that common to have church members that have gotten out or gotten lost or have wandered outside of the fold, but did you know that in most churches that's the case? And I would suspect that just since Sunday morning there's been some sheep that have gotten out. There's a lot of churches that Wednesday night, not everybody comes back on Wednesday night. But you know what we used to do when we had things get out? We'd go find them. How many of y'all had cats and dogs? Cats or dogs? Alright? Mama Murray, what do you have? You have a dog. You're not the cat lady in the church. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Every church has at least one cat lady. Say amen. Do y'all have any animals? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Some Christians right with God down here. Amen. Do y'all have any cats or dogs?
In a way, we've got a cat.
In a way. Cat lady.
Yeah. She's homesick with the cat.
No wonder she's sick. Amen. She got a cat. Amen. Y'all have dogs. You have a dog, okay? Or two. Or some. Amen. Two. If your dog gets out, if your cats get out, you lock the door and close it up. I understand. But if your dog gets out, what do? What's that? Oh, you're the cat lady. You're the cat lady. Amen. She's the cat lady. But if your dog or cat gets out and you love that dog or cat, what do? You go look for it. You know what I found that people will do when their dog gets out? You'll scour the neighborhood. You'll go look for that dog. You'll look around. If you don't see it for too long, you'll find yourself knocking on doors. See, the problem is not that we're afraid to knock on doors. It's just, what are we knocking on doors over? Boy, it sure is quiet in here tonight. Say amen, preacher! You know what we find? We travel all over the United States and across the globe different times, but you know what I found that I see all over the place? We'll go into Starbucks, or we'll go to Walmart, or we'll see we'll stop at a red light, and over there, taped on the side of the pole where they hang the red lights from, this is what we'll see. Amen? Y'all see those? Do they do that here in Columbia?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes they'll make a little A-frame sign and they'll stick it on either side and they'll put a picture and it'll say, lost puppy. If found, please call and put their name and their phone number down. Maybe answers by the name of Spotty or something like that, whatever they name their dog. Because they're looking for them. They're looking for that one that got out. Now I want to ask you this tonight. I saw many of y'all shaking your heads tonight that there have been some members that have gotten out. Say amen. There, just in a few years, there's already been some of the sheep, members of Anchor Baptist Church, that have gotten out and they're lost. They're wandering around. You know what I say we ought to do? We ought to come down here and make 200 copies of these. We ought to put them all around on the signpost, on the poles that hold up the red light lines and everything. You know, put some down at Walmart, put some down there at Starbucks, put some at Ace Hardware. Say amen. Put some down there at the Golden Corral buffet. You know, and lost church member, if found, please call Pastor Rick. Amen. And put his phone number down there. Say amen. Now, that is pretty cool. But here's the question. Why do we look for these, but we don't care about these? Why is it that we'll knock on doors and look for these? We'll put up signs. We'll go to all expenses and do anything that we have to find our lost puppy. But what about our lost brother and sister in Christ? Why do we care more about this than we do this? Now, you say, how did all that before you started tonight kind of tie in? The work has just begun here. Say amen.
Right.
You know what really ought to happen? This ought to just be the first auditorium. This ought to be referred to as, remember the beginning auditorium when we began? When we began the church down there in that little tiny auditorium, remember? That ought to be how it ought to be sometime in the future. Because we ought to be concerned about those that have gotten out. And what do? Look down there with me at verse number 4. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99? Here's what that verse tells me. Jesus said he ain't so concerned about the 99 that's still there. He'd leave all of us to go find the one that got out. I love us because I are one of us. I am one of us. But Jesus, I think he loved them and had a whole, and his focus was on them, not me. Not the 99. See, we think it's all about us because what can the church do for me? What can the pastor do for me? What can the Sunday school teacher do for me? But my question to you is, what are you doing for God? What are you doing for others? Our devotion today, we were talking to Titus today about others. Our focus ought to be on others. What are we doing to go find those that have gotten out? Jesus said that the good shepherd, or a shepherd, he would leave the 99 and go find the one that got out. Say amen.
Right.
Then what does it say that he done? When he gets down there, verse number 5. And when he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Now, I don't necessarily think you need to knock on their door. When they come to the door, you need to reach in, grab them, throw them over your shoulder. Amen. It would be funny, but don't tell them I said do it. Say amen. But the point is, we ought to love on them when we see them.
Yes.
We ought to just... Did you know that sometimes just life within itself can keep people from coming back to church the next time?
Yes.
Did you know that family circumstances sometimes can keep people from coming back? And do you know that sometimes people just need to know that the people down at the church love them? Sometimes we just need to walk up to people and say, hey, I've been missing you at church. Just want you to know we'd love to see you come back. We've been noticing that you've not been at church lately. Now, a while ago, when I said that there's been some church members, some flock of this fold that has gotten out, I saw multiple heads shaking up and down. You know who I'm talking about. You may know where they live. You may know their phone number. I challenge you to do this. Tonight on the way home, why don't you call them? Or Saturday, go by and visit them. The first week in February, y'all having a Saturday activity, visitation, inviting everybody to come. Do you know that every person, if you have two legs to walk, you ought to be here on that Saturday?
Amen?
Amen.
Right.
But did you know that you don't have to wait till that Saturday to go do what needs to be done? Amen? We ought to make it a way of life. We ought to just always be thinking about others. Now, do this. Go on down to verse number 8. Now, that's talking about the sheep that have gotten out. I want us to concentrate with what we've just read and talked about. That one, or that family, or that person that has gotten out of the fold, and they're not our puppy, but we're going to make out like that. We're going to go find them. Say amen. We're going to go hunt for them. We're going to go look for them. Now, let's go on and look at something else. Verse number 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she has found it, she calleth together, or she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, here's the deal. This lady, she had something that was very precious to her, and it was lost. There was something there that was of value and was very precious, and it was lost. Somebody tell me, what's the first thing this lady done there in verse number 8? She lit a candle. Who said that? Andrew? No, Brian. Brian's the smart one in the bunch. Say amen. She lit a candle. She got her candle, and she lit her candle, and I assume that she was looking for that lost piece of silver. And she was probably looking around, shining it under things, looking in the crevices, looking all underneath. She was moving furniture around. She was looking behind here. She'd flip things over and she'd look underneath there. She'd shine her light and she was looking everywhere that might be possible that lost piece was. Said she lit a candle. Don't you think that's kind of something we read about over there in the book of Matthew? Aren't we supposed to be a candle lit and set on a hill? Yes. You know what I say that we do? I say that we light our gospel candle. Say amen. Amen. I say that every person in this building, you ought to light your gospel candle, and then you ought to go looking for that which is lost. Right. Say amen. Because there's a lot of lost valuables out there, and we need to go find them. Say amen.
Right.
Aren't you glad somebody came looking for you? Say amen. What's the second thing that it said that she done? She swept the house. Titus, I love him dearly. But if I tell Titus, if I brought Titus in here and gave him a broom and it didn't have carpet, I said, Titus, I want you to sweep the church. You know what he'd do? He'd sweep a little bit here, and then he'd sweep a little bit over here, and then he'd walk over here and sweep a little bit. He'd walk over there and sweep. You got kids too? Like, what planet did they fall off of? I mean, don't common sense tell you that you start back there and you sweep clean all the way across and sweep it and go all the way out and sweep it clean and go out? Didn't your mama teach you how to sweep like that? Amen. You used to do a clean sweep, say amen. And she swept the house. And she looked everywhere and she didn't miss any place. Isn't that what Scripture said? She swept it clean. You know what I say we ought to do? We ought to light our gospel candle and we ought to go do some sweeping. It's just begun. Just because we build a building don't mean that we stop. Say amen. Matter of fact, this is the reason to get us going. Say amen. This is the beginning. This is now the time that every one of us ought to be looking for that which is lost. We need to light our gospel candle. And then the last thing it says that she done is she searched diligently until she found it. That means she just did not give up. Here's what she did not do. Nowhere in that scripture do you see where she done this. She sat down in her camelback recliner and she said, well, it knows where I'm at. I've got a sign out here that says, I'm sitting here in the recliner. If it wants to come to me, it can come to me. Amen? She had to take action. You know what's wrong with us today in our churches is we've stopped taking action. We're sitting in our recliners. We're sitting in our church. We put a sign out front, and that's all well and good, but that's not enough. Say amen. We need to go get them. The Bible teaches us to go get them. He that winneth souls is wise. Go out and compel them to come in. We are to be goers and doers, not just hearers. Say amen.
Right.
Now, I want to give you, let me see where my time is. Preacher said I had to be out by 10:30. I'm going to do my best. Amen. Brother Sonny, you look real worried. Amen. Do you go to work early in the morning? Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you retired? Praise the Lord. We can preach till 11:30. Amen. Y'all saw our bus out there. I'm not going to keep you till 11:30. Just 10:30. Preacher said 10:30. I'll have you out, okay? We would take our bus out there, and we had this little app on our phone called Gas Buddy. And because we have a 225-gallon tank, 225-gallon tank, if we can save 3 cents a gallon, I'll wiggle that thing around into the mom-and-pop gas station where it's only made for Volkswagens, little doodle bugs. And I'll wiggle that thing around, and we'll sit there at 1 cent, 2 cents, 3 cents. And we'll take 3 hours to fill up if I can save $35. Amen?
Amen.
And here's what we do sometimes. And this is just fun. I've realized and noticed that when they pull up on the other side of the gas tank and they take the nozzle out of the gas pump and put it in their car, they ain't going nowhere. You've got a captive audience. Just stick your head around the gas pump and say, "Well, hey, how are you today?" Just stick your head around there and go, "Ain't you glad gas prices has come down a little bit?" I tell them sometimes, "I'll pay for your gas today if you want me to." And they'll give you that look too, like, "I'll say, I'll pay for yours if you'll pay for mine." They'll go, "I don't want no part of that, amen." Just stick your head around and say, "Can I give you this and tell you that Jesus loves you?" Inside that little track there, it'll tell you exactly what you have to do to know that you can go to heaven when you die. And on the back there, I go to Anchor Baptist Church. I'd like to invite you to come go to Anchor Baptist Church with me. Just be soul conscious. Just be thinking all the time. You say, "Well, I can't get out like I used to." Oh, but you still go to Walmart. Amen. Here's what you can do at Walmart. Get your buggy. Get you something that won't rot and spoil. Don't go to the meat section, get any ribeyes or nothing, but get you some Kleenex, put it in your buggy. Maybe a pack of paper or something, or some green beans or something. And did you know what I've noticed? As you walk up and down the aisle, did you notice that people will actually come meet you? As you push it, you just walk around for hours. Walmart's open 24 hours. You can spend 3 or 4 days in there if you want to. Amen? Just push your buggy around, and when they come up to you, you just walk right to them and say, "Hey, let me give you this and tell you that Jesus loves you. Buddy, I want to invite you to Anchor Baptist Church. We're right over there on Brickyard Road. It's just right around the corner right here. We'd love to have you come visit with us." And they'll come to you. They'll walk right up to you. Amen? They'll walk right up to you. Just push your buggy around and just talk to people. "Hey, buddy, can I tell you that Jesus loves you?" Inside here, there's a way to tell you just how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. "Oh, these are your kids? Boy, they some ugly kids." What a blessing, amen. We'd like to invite y'all. We have things for the kids over at the church. Let me give that and invite y'all to come to church with us. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? We can just talk to people, say amen.
Amen.
You know what else you can do? You can go to the bread aisle. You know where the bread is? They got all the hamburger buns, hot dog buns, and those kind of things. You can walk right up there. You see somebody over there at the bread aisle, they'd be They'd be picking out their, what y'all eat? Nature's Grain? What do you eat? What do you buy? You buy the great value brand, right? You can say this. You can say this. Those great value hamburger buns, are they good? They're cheap. Say, you know, would y'all like that? It's pretty good. Hey, then you can tell them, say, listen, I found a bread that's better than great value. And they'll say, really? What's better than great value bread? Like, let me tell you about Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Say amen. Give them a gospel tract and tell them about the Lord. Say amen. You know what else you can do? You can go over there to the toothpaste aisle. Amen. Somebody's reaching up there in the toothpaste aisle. They're about to pull down the Colgate. You can walk up to them and say, hey, does that Colgate whiten pretty good? And they'll say, well, we've been using it for about 35 years at the house and it does pretty good. Say, well, I found something that whitens better than Colgate. Amen? Yes. Yes. Where's my sound effects guy? Who done that? Amen. Joaquin? Good. Why call him? You do sound effects. Amen. And you say, well, I found something that'll whiten better than Colgate. His name is Jesus. Let me give you this gospel track and tell you about him. Say it. Say amen. Here's the deal. They're out there. We just don't go looking for them anymore. Now, here's the problem. You ready for this? The problem is not that there's not a need. The problem is we're not doing what we're called to do. We're not doing what we know to do. You know why the world is in the shape it's in today and why they are trying to tell us that we can't anymore? It's because we've quit carrying our Bibles to work and laying it on our desk. We've let them tell us that we can't do that. And I'll just throw this out there for you. You don't think that if you're taking your Bible to work and you're praying and studying, reading your Bible on break, and you've got your work, let your Bible laying there, you don't think that if they fire you for having your Bible, you don't think God's going to give you a better paying job anyway? Say amen.
Amen.
If you're standing up for Him, He ain't going to let you go hungry. We just stopped doing what we are supposed to do. Here's what I say. Why don't we just get back to doing what God has called us to do? And that is taking the gospel to others. Telling others. And we can do that on a daily basis. I'm thankful for that Saturday coming up, Brian. We need that because it encourages us to go together. But you know, you can do it all the time. Say amen.
Right.
You can do it every day. Do it at a gas pump. Just stick your head around there and start talking to them. Talk to them at a grocery store. Talk to them at a hardware store. I even done this a few times when we was in California here a while back. I would, not this trip, but other trip, hey, you pull up there to a red light. You had a red light. They had a red light. Just open your car door and slip them a tract through the window. Just knock on the window, sit next to them, say, do like that. They'll roll the wind down about that much. Just say, here, let me slide this. Read that when you get a minute. Get back in your car. What else are you going to do at the red light? You ain't got time to look at Facebook. Just slip a track out and put it in their car and get back in your car. Amen? We just need to be thinking about it all the time. Who can I give a tract to? Amen?
Hey.
Just be thinking about it. Now, here's what I want you to do tonight. Here's your simple challenge tonight. We're going to go to the house. Tanya's going to start playing here in a few minutes. And when she does, why don't you, y'all go ahead and stand. Why don't you just simply do this? In a minute when she plays, you just start making your way down to an old-fashioned altar. You get on your face before God and say this, Lord, if you will put somebody in front of me this week, I'll tell them about you. Now, do you think that God's going to look down from heaven and go, no, I don't want you telling anybody about me this week? So if you will ask Him to put somebody in front of you that you can tell about Him, you know what God's going to do? You're going to get out of your car at Walmart, and you're going to close the door, and you're going to turn, and there's going to be somebody standing right there, and they're going to say, is there a Goodwill in town? Can you tell me where a Goodwill is? Somebody's going to walk right up to you and say, hey buddy, I left my watch at home. Do you know what time it is? And when they do, you're going to say, this is them, this is them. And you need to be ready. You need to have your gospel tracts ready and just give them a track. You're going to be sitting at your house and a knock's going to come on your door. And they're going to be looking for the neighbor's house. And they knocked on the wrong door. And that's going to be your person to tell about Jesus. Here's my challenge again. Just come to the altar and say, Lord, if you will use me this week, if you'll put somebody in front of me this week, I will tell them about you. As she plays, why don't you make your way to an old-fashioned altar and just say, Lord, just use me.
I was lost without a hope of being found.
He doesn't need your ability. All he needs is your availability. Just say, Lord, use me this week. Just put some gospel tracts in your
life
pocket.
Life is going nowhere, no matter what I tried.
Hey, some have come. Don't you need to come and just say, Lord, use me this week.
Satisfied.
Just use me to tell somebody about you.
Then someone cared enough to bring the truth to me. Someone cared, and now my soul is free. I know it wasn't easy to be bold enough to share, but I'm so glad.
We just need to go find them. They're out there. Aren't you glad somebody told you? And you go tell somebody else. Just let the Lord use you this week. He'll put them right in front of you if you'll ask Him to.
For salvation full and free. Won't somebody tell them of the Christ of Calvary? Their debt is paid already, but the message must be shared. Does anybody care? Then someone cared enough to bring the truth to me. Someone cared, and now my soul is free. I know it wasn't easy to be bold enough to share, but I'm so glad someone cared.
Thank you so much. Well, I appreciate that message tonight, don't you? Brother Cedric has got a way about him that's just, it'll just draw, I can imagine him at the gas station. And I do a lot of the grocery shopping for us because I just enjoy doing it. So I'm going to start running into people because he's right. I bet you pass 30 people in the aisles, especially on the weekends. No reason in the world why we can't hand out 100 tracts a day. And so I mentioned this at the end of December, and I'm going to mention it now. We're going to start this the 1st of February. It's already the end of January, so a little. But for 2018, you know, we did this last year for a while, and it really went great, but we sort of lost our zeal for it. It's all about handing out tracts. What I'd like to do in 2018 is to personally, not personally me, but us corporately, to give out 11,000 gospel tracts next year. Now, you know, that's 1,000 a month. That's not much. I know one church in Michigan gave out 50,000 last year. 50,000 tracts in 1 year. Now, and I'm not talking about taking 50 tracts in your hand and putting them someplace and just leaving them. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about handing them out to somebody, or, you know, doing it sometime during the year. We have our neighborhood blitz where we find a new neighborhood and we just go through and put tracts in paper boxes or, you know, on door handles if we can do that. You know, but most of the time it's going to be a personal thing, you know, where you meet somebody. And, you know, Brother Cedric's a lot braver than most of us. Joaquin, I don't think you'd go at a stoplight in the Bronx and slide a gospel tract in somebody's window at the red light, would you? Probably not a good idea. But in California, you know, hey, anything is all right in California, I guess. But there surely is ways that we can, and we all can do it. So, and it's not that hard. The teens are doing 1,000 tracks in a certain period of time. I'm not sure how long. By the end of January, it's supposed to have 1,000 tracks handed out. And so that's easy. It really is. So we're gonna really make an effort. I appreciate the message because someone asked me about that earlier because I'd mentioned it in December and just got busy with other things, and that's my fault. But so we still have 11 whole months left plus another week or so in this month. So let's do our best between now and December 31st of 2018 to give out at least 11,000 gospel tracts. So Joaquin, I need you to order some tracts because we want to have them here. All right, if we have to pay for it because it's such a large amount, we'll do that, you know, whatever we need to do to get those tracks. Brother Joaquin takes care of that for us, gets them stamped and all that. So he's a good thing he's the Lord's handyman because he can stamp them tracks.
Hey, preacher, if everybody
we did it 10. You remember that? Or 7. We did one for every day of the week, which is, my grace alive. So let's do that. Instead of 5, let's do 7. All right, today's Wednesday, so that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and one on Sunday if you should be out eating or something. So that's two a day between now and Sunday? Surely. And I'm not talking about leave it somewhere. I'm talking about hand it to someone. All right? So I want you to do that. So, Brother Joaquin, I'll tell you what I want you to do. Go back there, get the tracks, get all the tracks that are back there, and I want you right there at that door as folks are going out. And I want you to make sure that everybody gets 7. Okay? All right. So, wait a minute. You can't do that. Well, if you don't want to take them, then you just say no thank you, and that's fine. I won't even watch. But surely we can give out 7 tracts between now and Sunday. Surely we can. Don't we love the Lord better than that? I think so. So you do that, okay? They're stamped. They got the church. There you go. That's exactly how I pictured it, too. All right. I think we got enough back there for everybody, so let's do that, okay? And then Sunday I'll ask you how many of you are able to give out all 7. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and tell me, okay? I believe God honors that. Little is much when God is in it. And so that's not much to do, all right? All right, again, well, tell you what, be seated a minute. Come on, fellas, grab these plates. Let's take a love offering real quickly now. They didn't ask for anything, but you heard them. A 225-gallon gas tank. Is it diesel, brother? Yeah. So it's, man, that's $3 a gallon, is it? Something like that?